Bible lesson this evening, and trust that it's a blessing to you. If you needed a handout, they should have been on your seat somewhere there. It says Spiritual Inheritance Part 2 at the top, and trust that you found one of those if you're interested. And we'll begin again tonight. We'll finish up this two-part lesson in the Spiritual Inheritance. And you'll see the top 3 points are what we went over last week about the heirs that we are, the promise of heaven, the righteousness, heirs of salvation. And I start off by saying that it's wonderful to have an inheritance. And I don't know of anybody who would squawk about somebody that had gone on before them, a family member that loved them enough to leave something to them. That's an inheritance. It'd be great. But whether that happens or not, we have a spiritual, if you're saved in here tonight, we have a spiritual inheritance because of our salvation. And so we want to look at that and see what that is tonight. And so you can start, if you would, over in Psalm 37, and Psalm 37, that will be where we pick up our first point about our spiritual inheritance this evening. And as we get started in this, just a reminder that whatever possessions you get from an inheritance, whatever possessions you're going to leave to somebody else as an inheritance to your children, none of them can compare to the spiritual inheritance. I believe it'd be a wonderful thing for all of us to leave something to our children. And as the Bible says, your children's children. And that'd be wonderful. But if life doesn't present an opportunity for you to do that, you can leave them a much more valuable inheritance with the spiritual input of teaching them salvation, showing them the salvation of Christ, and then, of course, the inheritance that comes as we are saved. So let's look at Psalm 37, if you would, verse number 9. And we'll get started right on the first point and just showing where we are or what we're heirs of. The Bible says, Psalm 37, verse number 9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And we'll get started on that this evening, just some things, and we're going to run some references here and just look at some other places where it talks about the saints ruling, reigning, and judging, and I trust to be a blessing to you this evening. Father, be with us now. We're thankful for the time to have a Bible study. And Lord, many churches, and many Christians, I suppose, but many churches, we've allowed this to go by the wayside, that we don't get into the book. And dear Lord, we don't get into it, and we don't allow it to get into us. And so I pray that we would not be that way tonight. I pray that we'll get into the book and let it get into us. In Jesus' name, amen. We are heirs of the earth, the Bible says in verse number 9, "Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Now we understand that in prophecy there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and that'll be in God's timing as the future unrolls. But I want you to look at a few places as we get into this, and to say that I have it all figured out would be an overstatement, but I do know this, there are some wonderful things coming for the saints of God as they follow the Lord, and in future times of what's going to happen in prophecy. I want you to look, if you will, at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12. We'll run a few 4 or 5 references here and look at just a few things to kind of whet your appetite about what's going to happen as we see we are the heirs of this earth. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 12, the Bible says this, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." But you see here, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Well, you say, "Preacher, when would that be?" Well, it's going to have to be, if it's not now, it's going to have to be sometime in the future. And I don't see anybody reigning right now as far as what the Scriptures are talking about here. I want you to look over, if you will, we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, not too far to your left. Turn left a few pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. The Bible says here, talks about the saints judging the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, the Bible says, "Do you not know," this is talking about litigation, lawsuits between believers, which ought not be, of course. But look at, just in reference to that subject, it gives this, just a little side note in verse number 2, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you not worthy to judge the smallest matter? That's just a little supporting evidence for what's found in verse number 1, because it says that if any of you have a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints, meaning that we ought to practice what the Bible says. If I've got something against some believer, you know what the Bible says? Go to that believer. If he's a knucklehead or whatever you want to call him, and he won't see the truth that I'm supposed to go get somebody else, take him with me. And you see the progression, then take it before the church. And so the Bible says here, why are we going to lawsuits against another believer before the unsaved world? And then as a supporting evidence of that, in verse number 2 it says, do you not know? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And basically, in West Virginia, if they're going to do that then, why can't they do this now? We ought to be able to see how we get through that. So you see that they'll judge the world. Look, if you will, at Revelation chapter 2. Getting into the book of Revelation, we'll see a couple places here, looking at the end times and the times in the future, I should say. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 26. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Just showing some things that God's going to take some of us believers and put us in some places that we'll be amazed by. Revelation 5, verse number 10. And the Bible says, verse 10, and hast made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. One last one, I believe, is the last one I'll give you to, Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse number 6. Blessed is and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God, of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And God talks about reigning and judging and ruling. And you say, preacher, how's all that going to work out? I'm glad I don't have to figure it out. Believe me, there's enough stuff in this book keep you guessing for here on. And because God keeps you coming back time after time after time. But I do know this, there are some big things in store for those of us who are believers and followers of Christ. And we see that we're heirs of the earth. And we see that that will be partly that we get to enjoy. I don't know how it's going to work. Maybe I think of preachers from yesteryear. Maybe God will let Lee Robertson have a little bit of Chattanooga, that he can rule over some of that during the millennium. Maybe Gene Lassie will get this part of Johnson City. I don't know how all that will work. I'm just saying that there are some big things coming that will happen, because we will rule with him as the Lord comes. And so we see that we're heirs of the earth. Look, if you will, now at the second or the next one, or second one for tonight. We see in Titus chapter 3, verse number 7, we're going to talk about being justified. I don't know of a better word for tonight than justified. As one old preacher put it, that's just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. When God looks at us, it looks at us as clean, looks at us as if we had always been righteous. Titus chapter 3, the Bible says that being justified by His grace. You understand that as God looks at us, He looks at us, if you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of Christ, then you are looked upon as if you had never sinned. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs. Those that have something coming to us. One Bible scholar put it like this, that justified means cleared of all guilt. Wasn't it a sweet time when you were a kid and you'd been in trouble, but finally everything was made right between you and your dad, be that you finished out your punishment, be that he'd given the spanking, the grounding, the whatever it was, and all that was over. Everything was in the past. Even better than that, because Curtis Hudson added to that definition, just as if I'd never sinned, and he added to that, and as if I'd always been righteous. So it's not just like we got everything cleaned up, it's as if we've never done it, because we're seen through the eyes, or God sees us through the eyes of Christ, or through the blood of Christ, and so we are heirs, as the Bible says here, though, of eternal life. Why is that? Because we are justified by His grace, and therefore we are the heirs of this eternal life. Your heirship and my heirship is hinging on the giver, not the recipient. So remember, whenever we're talking to somebody and they say, oh, I know you Baptists, I know what you believe. And it's interesting what people know we believe that we don't believe, but that's beside the point. Say, I know what you Baptists believe. You believe this and you believe that. And then they inevitably will get into the thing of, they say, well, you believe that once saved, always saved. You believe that once in grace, always in grace, or eternal security or whatever. You understand what we're looking at here tonight is this. As us being the heirs of eternal life, it's hinging upon the fact that we've been justified by, if you're looking at it as a class, look at it if you will, that being justified by whose grace? By His grace. And so if He did the work, then He does the keeping. If He does the saving, He does the keeping. If I did the saving, then John would be responsible for the keeping as well. And if John does the saving, then we're in trouble from the get-go. And so you understand that we are heirs of eternal life. We have eternal life that can never be stripped away. Not because we're going to live such a wonderful life from here on, because all of us know that we stumble and fall, and the Scriptures are very clear that we will. But we have that heir, or that we are those heirs of eternal life, and that can't be stripped away because we didn't do anything to get it to begin with. It was by the grace of God, by grace are you saved through faith. And so we're the heirs of eternal life. We're heirs of the earth. We're heirs of eternal life. If you want to look at a big one, look back at Romans chapter 8. We look in Romans chapter 8 and we find that not only are we the heirs of this earth, and one of these days we'll rule with Him, we'll reign with Him. You understand that as sure as Jesus is going to rule and reign, then we will as well. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse number 17, that we're heirs of the earth, we're heirs of eternal life, and now, look, it just gets the chase, if you want to call it this way. God cuts the chase. Verse number 17, and if children, we'll look at verse 16, and the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. If you're a child, which the Bible says you are in verse number 16, because you're bought with a price, we've received the spirit of adoption in verse 15. And if all these things are true, and you're bought by you've been adopted, then the Spirit, where it's written with your spirit, we're the children of God, verse number 16. Well, if all that's true, and if we're children, then we're heirs. We're heirs to what? The Bible says we're heirs of God. Now, I don't know whose role you might be on, which rich relative may pass away and leave you on their rolls, but none of them can be even hold a candle to what it is when you're the heirs of God. And it goes on to say, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I want you to think about this, a couple of things. Under this, if you want to take notes, verse number 15, because we're adopted. Adopted into the family of God. I've got some family members in my family that are adopted. And some people say, well, I wasn't born into the family. And they tell them, say, I know, we didn't get you by accident. We chose you on purpose. We're adopted into the family. In verse number 15, you've received the spirit of bondage. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. And then we see that we're the heirs of God. Not only are we adopted, but then because of the witness of the Spirit. For as many as are led of the Spirit, in verse number 14, then they are the sons of God. And verse number 16, it tells us the Spirit, the big S, the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit, little s, and that's the essence of us, the breath of us, because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children. And so then God says, at the end He says, and if you're children, you've got a lot of good things coming. You've got into the honey hole. You've got into the you're walking in high cotton. You are living large because we are heirs of God. No better guarantee to hold that inheritance. I don't know what you would want as a better proof of ownership or better proof of return on your investment. Whatever you want to look at it, we're heirs of God. Once you look at one more here, we are the heirs of perfection. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And then we go on here to verse 4. To an inheritance. Again, back to this spiritual inheritance. This inheritance is incorruptible. Meaning it can't decay. It can't. There's nothing in it that will ever worry about disintegrating. It can't decay. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. I love what that says in the middle of that verse. It fadeth not away. We are saving a receipt for something. I don't remember what we bought, but I was saving it. And it got up there and laid up in the sun for a while. And I went back to get that receipt from Walmart or wherever it was. And all it was just a blank piece of white paper. The ink had gone. So no wonder Walmart, or whoever, I don't know if it was Walmart, no wonder they guaranteed it as long as you brought your receipt back. They knew it had disappearing ink on it. And it faded away and did me no good. But the Bible says that this inheritance of the perfection that Jesus Christ puts in us, it fadeth not away. It won't tarnish. It won't fade. It's undefiled. You know, you get an inheritance from somebody and you don't know where that money came from. Now, if you don't want it, let me know. I'll take it. I don't care where it came from. Like one old preacher said, they were asking, "Well, would you take money if somebody got it in less than proper ways?" He said, "Man, the devil's had that money long enough. We can use it here at the church." So if you're worried that inheritance was ill-gotten, then talk to me after the service. We'll try to work out something. But it might not have been gotten in the right way. But this one is undefiled. It's holy, undefiled, incorruptible, fadeth not away. And then the best part is the end. It's reserved. Reserved in heaven for you. And then it goes on to say, in case you're worried, well, what if it's just reserved till right now and it's not going to be reserved until the end? What if something happens between now and then? What if something? What if, what if, what if? Look at verse number 5. Who are kept. Guarded and protected, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So that inheritance, just in case you're worried about that one that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it doesn't fade away, it's reserved. Well, yeah, but what if I do something to mess up my reservation? God thought you might have a concern about that, so that's why He put verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So this evening, not only are we those heirs of salvation as we started off in, the heirs of the promise, but we're also the heirs of this earth. New heaven, new earth coming one of these days. In the millennium before that time, the Word of God talks about us ruling and reigning with the Lord. And we're the heirs of eternal life. Cuts to the chase and says, we're the heirs of God. Why is every church that preaches the Word of God not full tonight? Well, I would submit to you because we don't fully understand what our inheritance is. Why are there Christians laying out of church all over this nation, or all over this world for that matter, on a Sunday? Because we're just not tuned in to how big our inheritance is. Or else we'd be there praising the Lord, thanking Him for what He's done for us, and thanking Him for the wonderful, wonderful inheritance that we've gotten. We're the heirs of God, and then we're the heirs of perfection. Revelation 21, verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." As a blood-washed Christian, you and I, we have got a wonderful spiritual inheritance. I want you to do me a favor tonight and just take a moment and pray. And I don't know about you, but I'm driven to think about tonight the wonderful blessings that I have got by being born again. Do you understand that whatever problems you have, That boss won't get off your back. Those problems just keep nagging you. Those financial issues just can't seem to overcome. That health issue that you just can't seem to shake, or whatever it is, you fill in the blank. I'm not being unkind, so please don't misunderstand. But as far as heaven and eternity go, whatever we're facing is small. I'm not belittling your problem. Please don't misunderstand, because you may be going through something horrific that make me cringe just to think about it. So I'm not belittling it. I'm just talking about in comparison to heaven versus hell. In comparison to on your way to heaven when you leave this world, going to go live with Jesus forever and in the mansion that He's built for you. Whatever we're going through, this has got to seem like a small, small trouble compared to heaven because of our spiritual inheritance. Father, please bless us now. And Lord, I pray that we could have dozens of folks right here in this auditorium. We just be musing and pondering and thinking about how blessed we are. And folks, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm encouraging you. Right now, God says He inhabits the praise of Israel, the praise of His people. I'm challenging you right now to do some praising the Lord for your spiritual inheritance. We'll have some playing music just in a moment, but before we do all that, couldn't you just sit there and just say, praise you, Lord. Lord, thank you for I'm an heir of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that I'm an heir of the promise of heaven. Thank you that I'm an heir of righteousness. I'm an heir of this earth. You're going to use me one of these days. I'm an heir of eternal life, an heir of God Himself, and an heir of the perfection of salvation. Folks, like the one little boy said, we've got it made in the shade with lemonade. We are blessed tonight. Heir of salvation, our spiritual inheritance. Our piano player is going to play, and if God's speaking to your heart, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. You want to pray at an old-fashioned altar, then this altar is open for you. You'd like to come and just thank the Lord for the inheritance you have, the spiritual inheritance. You say, preacher, I'm not getting a dime from any relative. That's all right. You'll be okay. You'll survive. This spiritual inheritance that I'm talking about is so much more valuable than any inheritance that a rich uncle could leave you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you know it, but you've not been praising the Lord for your spiritual inheritance. Folks, there's no sense in us running down, being long in the mouth and tripping over our lower lip because of problems. Problems come and we have to deal with them through the power of God. But might I encourage you to think on that spiritual inheritance? Maybe you're here tonight. You've heard me preach and you say, preacher, I'm not even saved. If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, Jesus wants to be your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's us. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, would you simply step out, let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved? If you're watching on live stream, the number is right on your screen. There's also an email there. You can email us if you don't need immediate attention. We'll get that tomorrow, if not tonight. But our phone number, we get it right now. And you need somebody to pray with you, would you call? And right here in this room, if you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you could have that spiritual inheritance that fadeth not away. And my friend, if you came in here, barely got in here, devil was all over you trying to get you to stay home. You tried to keep you late at work. And then after you got going, traffic was bad, getting up here from Johnson City, and you thought, I'm just going to go on home. As my dad used to say, you don't have to look too hard to find out who's putting those thoughts in your mind. And maybe you just barely crawled in underneath that door back there. My friend, if you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've got more going for you than the richest man anywhere in the world today. Spiritual inheritance. Father, thank you for this time to gather into your house. Lord, we're blessed. Lord, we're really blessed. Lord, we're able to be in church tonight. We're able to open up this book. Lord, we're way past blessed, dear Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the spiritual inheritance that we have. And Lord, it can't be guaranteed by any greater. It's guaranteed by you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated if you didn't mind. And we're going to discontinue the live stream. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on live stream. And then we've got a short business meeting we're going to go over. Okay.